Sasha Brokaw Show with Anna DeBlantis offer another day of broadcast insolence.
I enjoyed the switch to Mitch yesterday. There were some moments when you thought that this could be great. Just get the right people around him, and you never know what could happen here. Mr. Trubisky, I know you were at the game. How was it?
Okay. All right. I have thoughts. I have thoughts on this. He, the first couple of series, I think he was 7 of 8 in the first couple of series.
And he looked comfortable. He looked relaxed.
And the one miss was a drop by the receiver, by the tight end, actually, I believe.
Which usually happens with our receivers.
Yes, it does.
Deion Sims dropped it. That's not accurate, bro.
Oh, was it Deion Sims? Okay. What was interesting to me, though, was how easily the guys were catching the ball. He was putting the ball where it needed to be, and he was able to spread the field. He collapsed the pocket. He was able to move laterally, and then he was able to get free a couple of times. The Bears, in galling fashion, would have won that game were it not for two holding penalties. One that took them down to the 10-yard line. They had a play that took them down the 10-yard line. It was called back, and they had to go back to their own 49.
It's like a 26-yard pass or something.
And then of course, the touchdown that was called back on holding.
And that hold on Leonard Floyd, which shouldn't have been a holding call at all anyways. That allowed the Vikings to get the first down and run out the time and kick the field goal towards the end of the game. It was a horribly officiated game.
You know what? I'm not going to disagree with you. I generally don't want to blame officials for losses.
Same here.
That was a ghost call. And certainly the Bears do not help themselves. The holding stuff is just unbelievable. That goes to coaching. I hated. I was like with Hampton last night. I wasn't with him, but I was like, you know, virtually with him.
Yep.
I was so mad at John Fox because, you know, John Fox, who looks, you know, like he's getting thinner and he's got the beard going. He looks like an agitated patient who just got into the day room.
And he was smiling in some of the wrong places yesterday, too, which agitated a lot of people.
And chewing, and I don't think he was chewing gum or anything. I think he was chewing on the side of his cheek. That's what I think he was doing.
Can we give him credit, though, for maybe the best two-point conversion play design ever? That was unreal. I watched it 10 times.
Beautiful.
I couldn't believe what I saw. It was perfectly executed and an incredible design. I love that play.
I was in the south end. We're sitting in the south end zone, and it was very hard to see in real time what happened there. It was like a big tricky trick play. There were two trick plays that were very effective for them.
Yep. Which I
think they're going to have to go to. I think as much trickification as they can come up with, it would be better for them. Mitchell Trubisky, I'm going to – Edo Bradovich is going to join us at 4:40.
Yep, we're going to get his thoughts.
I am with OB and Hamp last night when they were saying that we have found our quarterback. There's no question about it. This guy's got a ton of skill. Here's the issue is that the defense – you will notice that the Minnesota defense did adjust to him. And they put pressure on him in places. They realized some things that he was doing, and they were able to put him in positions. Now, he also threw a pass last night. I'm hoping that the interception, right, that led to the field goal.
Yeah.
That interception, I think, was very, very, very that was a rookie mistake.
Oh, no question.
You cannot throw that ball where he threw it in the NFL.
A couple numbers to keep in mind here. Mitch Trubisky on play action passes, 127 passer rating. Without play action, 30 his passer rating.
Yeah.
So that's why
you got to fake like you're handing the ball off and you give that one moment of pause to the defense.
Yeah, and if you become, if that's the only way you can complete passes, defense are going to adjust to the quarterback anyway. So that's something that'll have to be fixed as well. But I thought for the most part, definitely some hope, and you actually felt like, okay, this guy looks like an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
They're unlikely to win another game this season, but they are, they just don't have anybody else.
Win Sunday.
Yeah, Baltimore is not what they're not the Baltimore of old, right?
No.
It just didn't seem like clean football. I obviously don't know a lot about
football. It did not seem like clean football. What does that
penalties
mean?
It seemed like trickery, like
penalties.
Just
a lot of yellow flags.
No, that's not what I meant. What I meant is, it seemed.
Wait, Anna. Let her explain it.
All right.
It just seemed like they were being tricky. Like they were getting these passes and getting the points.
Trick plays.
Yeah.
Three Stooges style.
By not really the skill set, but just by chance. Like, it didn't seem like really
good
football.
I don't think it felt clean because of the penalties. If that's, I don't, but yeah, it was sort of a choppy, weird game for sure.
Yeah. Okay. But hey, were we happier that Mitch Trubisky was there than Glennon?
I mean,
everybody. Did you just get so excited about the future that they're, you know, that this might not be the year, but it's going to be the future?
Everybody in the seats were like, everybody was talking about, oh, Glennon would have gotten killed on that play. That would have, Glennon would have dropped the ball. He would have been sacked. You know, I mean, there's no question that this is a complete upgrade. This should have been since week two.
Oh, no question. I mean, right when I put on the game, I go, how did Mike Glennon ever start over Mitch Trubisky?
I don't know.
How is that even possible?
Even week one, they might have won the game with him. I mean, he's got a really great skill set. And you know what I like about him, too?
What?
He knows how to avoid. This is the key to great NFL quarterbacks. Hmm. Guys who know how to avoid getting hit.
Mm-hmm. They sense
gets
it,
rid of
right?
the ball.
They feel it.
Well, there was one time. I mean, he didn't sense it. He got, you know, obviously he's getting sacked, dropping the ball and stuff. But you know, he did that too. But he's got a sense of how to get away. He's got a sense of also when guys are going after him. There was an attempt on his knees last night, and he got off his feet for that. You know, you got to get off your feet so you're not planted when the guy tries to take your legs out. And he was able to do that. I mean, he's a really solid athlete. He seems like a natural, an instinctive quarterback. So we'll take that.
Yeah, we will. And did you get to see the stormtroopers at onto the field?
No. Well, we saw them, but I didn't understand what was going on because I didn't get to see
the preview.
Star Wars and sports just don't mix.
I thought it was great.
I'm like, what's happening here?
It was so funny because I was following social media while I was watching the game, and everybody's saying, gosh, I got to watch this dumb game just to get to the trailer I want to see. So all the Star Wars people were like, just
like totally
so over the
audiences.
Game.
Yeah.
I had to watch a dumb game to get to the buffet that was in the Skyline Suite. That's what I had. That's the way I looked
First
at it.
First world problems. I had to watch a football game.
Right.
Live on an 80-degree day or a 75-degree day.
Great wings, though. I got to tell you that.
Oh, nice.
Hey, I'm excited about Mitchell Trubisky. It's
Me
not
too.
Gonna be this year. But they don't have the horses. And they don't have the coaching. They're undisciplined, sloppy. The guys aren't thinking team, they're thinking for themselves. But I think that they could build some people around them. You got a core of running backs that are great. You got three solid running backs. Yeah. Maybe the best running back core they have had. You know, going back to, you know.
Depth-wise, no question.
In Forte, I mean, and probably in depth-wise, maybe back to the Peyton era.
One other stat, real quick, I'll throw you away. I heard this after the Bears game. Aaron Rodgers, in his first four two-minute drills with the Packers as the starting quarterback, threw an interception on each one of those drives. So just because he didn't throw a pick last night, this is what happens with rookies. There was a lot of positive signs, but they're going to make rookie mistakes. That's why you got to play him. He's got to learn and get reps. So.
We have 11 preseason games left.
Yeah,
this is the way we have to look at this.
The 2018-19 season.
That's
right.
What it is.
That's what we're doing.
100%.
And it's going to be a new coach, be a brand new, you know. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to OB about it. All right.
Maybe they'll sign someone that can catch a football.
That would help.
Yeah. All right. Let us now find out from Violetta Patermanic, football expert. She should have been out with Jim Gray last night instead of Ditka. And think about that, where she's like, you know, I didn't like all these tricks, Jim. I don't like all these tricks.
I want some conventional football.
I want guys who are going to win, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Conventional NFC North football.
Yeah.
They're Chicago. They're real. Watch Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggets, Larry Potash. And Robin Baumgarten, Get Real in the Morning, the WGN TV Morning News team, weekdays 4 a.m. to 10 a.m.
All right, back to the action here on the program. Aaron Blake is with us from the Washington Post. It's always a pleasure to have Aaron, and a great honor actually, because his byline has become must-read copy for people who are trying to watch what's happening in Washington. And Aaron, let's. You've got one today about the Republican Party's Stockholm syndrome as it relates to Donald Trump, which is you got Republicans not quite sure what to do. You go with Corker and go, yeah, the guy's crazy. Let's run. Or you got the guys who go, hey, we can't get anything done without him. He's our guy. Right. I mean, which way is the majority going to go here, do you think?
Well, I think it's apparent right now that most of them are not going to go with Bob Corker, and that's for one very apparent reason, which is that Bob Corker is the only one among them who is retiring this year from the Senate.
Right.
He's the first guy in the class of 2018 who announced his retirement, and it's no coincidence that he's now the guy engaged in this feud with the president and saying kind of what he thinks. Look, this is what other senators say when you speak to them anonymously. This is what members of the White House staff often say when you speak to them anonymously. But Republicans still have this fear of speaking out against the president because they want to get things done and because they're worried about being the guy who goes against Trump's base, which is very, formidable and could lead to a primary challenge. And so what you have is basically a situation in which nobody is willing to jump first. Bob Corker jumped first and said these things. A few other Republicans have said certain things at certain times, but nobody has really gone after the president and tried to rally him against him in a way that that Corker today. And, even in some of his criticisms last week before the president went after him, Corker was somewhat, glancing in the things that he said about the president. So it's still not a situation where Republicans are comfortable going whole hog against the president. It's been that way for the better part of 2 years now, and it's likely to continue.
So does this in any way affect this feud? Does it affect people taking sides in terms of getting a tax plan done? Does it affect any of the agenda? Not that they've been particularly successful at passing anything so far, but the tax reform is something that I think Wall Street's counting on. A lot of people are counting on. The president reiterated that again today, and Sarah Huckabee Sanders did as well, that they want to get that done. Does all this antagonizing behavior impact that in any way?
Yeah, I mean, it could. I tend to think that tax reform is something that Republicans would want to vote for on a policy basis. You know, tax cuts are very much in line with what the party's been all about for a very long time. And so you may not see a member like Corker vote against something just because it would be a win for Donald Trump necessarily. But, this is a president who's been stymied so far by the slimness of the Republican majorities. They only have 52 Republican senators, and he's feuded with, more than the number that it takes to get to that majority.
Really? I have not noticed any of that, Aaron.
It's
funny. I don't see that. It's interesting, though. I want to go back to the base here for just a second.
Sure.
If we can. The base is unshaken at this point, isn't it? I mean, this is where guys like Corker, who's leaving because the president may actually be a little onto something here, which is he might have lost in a primary challenge. There's a lot. Jeff Flake is likely to lose in a primary challenge. There are a lot of people who are likely to lose. Now, does that mean in some of these states that Democrats are going to win? I don't know. In Arizona, maybe. But you might not. There's a clearer route here with the Republican base and the energized Republican base in red states to put people in that they think are going to do Trump's bidding, because there's still people who want their tax cut and they also like Trump's kind of, tear it all up, the agenda. And you got Bannon out there. I mean, it doesn't seem to me that Trump is, it's like the NFL thing. It kind of feels like he's losing, but he really, with his base, isn't.
You're exactly right. If you look, there are two Republican senators who are basically vulnerable this year. You mentioned Jeff Flake, Dean Heller in Nevada. Both of them, according to all the polling data that we have that's public, have seen their numbers plummet, including among Republicans, because they've been pitted against Trump in certain ways. Mitch McConnell's numbers have plummeted in recent months as the president is attacking him. There is a very real and apparent downside to going after the president, and we're seeing it in very apparent ways, and that's going to, make these Republicans reluctant to go against him. And so when you say, Steve Bannon is running primary challenges against all these guys, they should be scared of that, and that's going to be a real factor in whether these Republicans are going to cross the president.
Right. And the only thing that can happen between now and then is a complete implosion by the president in a way that his base would actually blame him. And there's very few circumstances in which that would actually occur. Right. I mean, his base, no matter what, if the Russia investigation tries to take him down, his base is going to go, I don't want to hear about Russia anymore. I don't care about it. Let him have. You know what? Russia is our friend. I mean, you're hearing that was like a crazy thing from the alt-right protesters over the weekend, the ones that went back to Charlottesville, is that, Russia is our friend was one of their chants when, with the blood in the soil and the Jews won't replace us, it was right there. Oh, and you're like, oh, what? But there, I think in Trump's base, they look at Russia as like either a non-factor or, hey, we should get along with them because we have similar goals. And that's, you know, kicking the crap out of, you know, people who don't pray like us or look like us.
Yeah, I think if there's one thing that winds up alienating that base, it's not getting things done. It's failing on a legislative level. And I don't even think that's going to happen anytime soon. So, you know, we're in a situation where a lot of this stuff is kind of self-reinforcing. The Russia investigation is, you know, the swamp fighting against
right.
President Trump. You know, the feuds with Republicans, you know, that's why they can't get anything done, because these Republicans aren't on board with President Trump. You know, this argument can be strung out for a long time to keep the base interested, to keep them behind him. And there's really only limited support so far that suggests the base is deserting him in any real numbers.
Hey, Aaron, I want to ask you really quickly.
But I don't see it.
Before we let you go, I want to ask you really quickly about Rex Tillerson. Do you think Rex Tillerson lasts through this big foreign trip that the president has planned for early next month?
It seems like it right now. The White House said today that they have confidence in him. He seemed last week like he thought he was going to be able to stay on. You wouldn't come out and make that statement if you didn't think that. And so I think all signs point right now to him at least trying to stay on board for a few more months here.
Okay. Mensa's offered to have the two square off in a test, a public like game show style
IQ test. He might go for that. Tillerson won't go for it.
Wouldn't it be great?
Oh, imagine Tillerson waking up and reading that this morning and like, this guy thinks he's got a bigger IQ than me. Does he really think that? I mean, I just imagine what that, and then imagine the people around the president go, oh, you're so right, sir. Oh, you're so, yeah, Rex is kind of, yeah, you would definitely beat him in an IQ test, sir. All right, Aaron, thank you very much. Appreciate
it.
All right, Aaron Blake, Washington Post. Coming up, Kim Gordon, WGN News, just 2 minutes away. Pro Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Watching the Bears game yesterday, I did see the soda tax ads. It's hard to escape them, really.
Mm-hmm. The Finance Committee of the Cook County Board has just voted 15-1. How did they do that? Because isn't that like the whole board, basically? On the Finance Committee? Kim, help me there.
The Finance Committee.
That's what we were just saying. We thought it was the whole board, so why do you have to do this twice? I guess because Tony Preckwinkle isn't at the Finance Committee meeting.
Wait till she finds out what happened.
Well, actually,
oh my God, she's going to be mad.
Statement.
What did she say?
Today, the board exercised its collective will and set in motion a repeal of the beverage tax we approved last year. As I outlined last week, it's up to the commissioners to choose our direction on revenue. I respect their authority to do so. Now, together, we must chart a new course toward the eighth consecutive balanced budget of my tenure as president.
And the vote that the Finance Committee took is veto-proof, so they vote again tomorrow, and then apparently the repeal could take effect in December.
December 1st, yeah.
So we have to still put up with this crap till December 1st, where you go to the Jewels, and they're like,
"Yep,
I don't know, man.
Yeah, why do they have all this extra charge on me?" Right.
First of all, the Jewels wants me to check myself out, which I don't like checking myself out. I like having a little gabbity-gab with the lady checking me out.
I kind of do, too.
Right? And then
that is the last thing I want. I want to check out on my own and go.
I don't.
Thanks, Kim. I wanted to say it, but I thought it was so millennial of me.
Well, the problem is I'm always afraid that I'm going to be accused of stealing something if I check out on my own.
You're always looking around like, did I scan it all?
Yeah. And what if I didn't scan it?
And then
I
you're
put
scared
it in the
to
bag?
Walk through this.
And then it's like, and it's constantly yelling at you about putting it in the bag, but it doesn't fit in the bag.
Oh, yeah.
And then what do you do? Because I'm always
skip bagging.
I've always got the big toilet paper, you know, it's like, you can't get that in the bag.
No.
Right, and then if you skip back and you have to hold your toilet paper while you scan the rest of your items.
Place item in the bag in front of you. Place item in the bag in front of you.
It always sounds like a Bond villain telling me what to do.
It does sound very serious. Like, you know.
And now you have to confirm how many bags you've used. I'm like, I don't know. Did I use two or three?
So I don't know what to do. And then they're there. And then you look. Or worse yet, you go to a restaurant and they don't know what the hell to do with your drink.
Yeah.
Right? They're like, I don't know. It's got soda water in it. I got to charge you $50 for it. What?
It's like drinks are already expensive enough.
Right. I think I might be getting ripped off in places. I don't know. Here's the County Commissioner, John Fritchie, official County Commissioner of the Roe Contra with Anna DeVlantis.
Mm-hmm.
unpaid position.
How are you doing, guys?
Good. All right. So the finance committee, which is basically the entire county board, isn't it?
The finance committee is a committee of the whole. So that is the whole board.
Yeah. So the finance committee, which is the whole board, just voted to ditch this thing 15-1. Tony Preckwinkle doesn't really have a prayer if you guys show up again tomorrow and do this, right? Is everybody going to show up and do this tomorrow, do you think?
It'll be formally approved tomorrow by the same vote or potentially 15-2. Commissioner Butler, who wasn't there today, if he's there tomorrow, would likely be a no vote. But one way or the other, it will be formally approved tomorrow. Then the only open question is whether the president decides to veto it. I think the writing is on the wall at this point, and she probably won't do that.
Wait. We're reporting. I want to make sure that we may have this wrong. We're reporting that it is veto-proof.
If all the people
The majority is veto-proof. Now, that doesn't keep her from vetoing it, but then her veto would get an override, and I don't think she wants to put herself in that position. So, for all practical purposes, this is a done deal. It'll take effect December 1st. And I've got to tell you, and it's not an overstatement to say this, you both know that, this really is somewhat historic. It is one thing for residents to complain about their taxes going up. It's another thing for those complaints to actually result in the tax being taken away.
Well, it's true, and we've seen in Cook County, we've certainly seen, we have combined city-county sales tax rate is the highest in the nation, and we just saw our property taxes go up for the county 10%. So, I mean, it seems like
we're starting nickeling and diming. Anna, today the Chicago Public Schools just announced that they're raising their property tax levy by approximately $225 million. So that's about another $175 per homeowner. So what you're really looking at was we already had the largest property tax in history. You had an increase in your water tax. You started paying for shopping bags. Mm-hmm. Your state income tax went back up. You're getting another increase in your property tax now. As I said during my comments during debate, the illness that my constituents are suffering from primarily now is tax fatigue. They simply just can't take this anymore.
Well, I think that's true.
There is some truth to that.
I never thought we'd be old enough to complain about taxes, but here we are. I mean, it's like, once you have to start paying them, you're like, hey, wait a second.
And this
beverage tax was just so, and I think it's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I want to try to be fair in my criticism here. When should that start? I know, but I'm going to try it anyway.
Today.
Here it is. This was so improperly marketed to people, and it was a lie. This isn't about making sure the kids don't have sugar in their drinks and get obese and then have to end up on dialysis by the time they're 14
or
whatever those commercials are saying.
Or won't be able to run anymore.
Right. Or you got the pastor from the church who's talking about how her neighborhood is now filled with dialysis treatment centers because of this and all of that. And you're like, well, then why is sparkling water on the list, right? I mean, wouldn't that be important to make sure you're having?
If we have a 4 or 5 year old with diabetes, we don't have a sugar problem. We have a parenting problem.
Right.
And that's something that needs to be recognized as well.
Yeah, I mean, no question.
It's not just the sugary beverages either. There are a lot of sugar, snack foods out there, things like that contribute.
And Anna, you hit it on the head. That's a lot of the problem, too. Chocolate milk isn't taxed. Milkshakes aren't taxed. Frappuccinos aren't taxed. But Gatorade is. V8 is. Sugar-free waters that are flavored are.
So not anymore now. All right, so let me ask you this. So they're going to pass tomorrow. And
correct.
We're going to drop this tax. Now, question is, in the county of Cook, how are you going to make up the shortfall?
Well, and that is the legitimate and fair question to ask, especially for the people like myself who voted to repeal it. We now have a $200 million gap in the budget that we're going to have to make up for. Some of that, if somebody can come up with an acceptable revenue increase, some of that can come from new revenues. But a lot of it's going to have to come from cuts and efficiencies. Some of those are going to be very difficult to make, but we are once again going to have to do even more with even less. And that's what the taxpayers have said that we wanted. But there's ways to do it. When I merged the office of the clerk and the recorder, that's one way that we can fundamentally change a county government. There's other ways that we're going to have to do it. And listen, homeowners make really tough choices. If somebody gets laid off or whatever it may be, and their expenses get higher than what they're taking in, they make tough choices. There's no reason that we shouldn't do it. I'd love to be able to provide programs to everybody. but you have to pay for those. And if you can't, then we're going to have to prioritize things.
Can we build condos in the Forest Preserve?
I've got to watch.
Bro's got an idea.
I got a few ideas for some condos in the Forest Preserve. How about, well, what about, I always bring this up, and he gets mad when I bring this up, mm-hmm. but I got to bring it up. What about merging two of our favorite organizations, the Cook County Sheriff's Office and the Forest Preserve Police?
Well, you know, there's a number of things that we can look at, and that type. So it's those types of efficiencies where, you know, there's duplicate things being done. And, you know, maybe we can do that. You know, when you look at the assessor's office and the treasurer's office, there's some of the tax functions that they both do. Maybe we can combine those. As you know, change doesn't come easy. But it's going to be incumbent on these elected officials. So keep in mind, sheriff, state's attorney, assessor, treasurer, the public defender, you know, they present their budgets to us. And they're going to have to decide. They're in the best position to decide, well, if I have to make an 11% cut in my budget, where's the best way for me to do it? But if they don't decide how to do that, then we will.
Mm-hmm. What about layoffs? Is that inevitable if this goes down?
Anna, I would like to avoid them. Is it inevitable? It's close. It's close. I think we're going to have to downsize. I mean, we've already downsized our headcount by close to 10% since I got there in 2010. What you can also take a look at, rather than laying off existing positions, is there are a number of unfilled vacant positions
that we can eliminate,
which will actually reduce our budget. Not all of them, but hundreds of them, and that makes a difference as well.
Yeah. Hey, I'm just chock full of ideas, John. Mm-hmm. Don't you worry
about it.
You're
an idea guy.
You asked me for. How about having judges? They're going to love this when mm-hmm. I say this because okay. judges love this. Mm-hmm. I may have to move out of Cook County for this to. Because of what I'm about to say. How about requiring that judges keep actual real court hours? There's a lot of hardworking judges out there, but we also know there's a lot of judges that are, you know, blowing their calls.
Well, listen, the judiciary falls under the control of the chief judge.
Ah, there he goes. There he goes. Call him.
Shift the
Tim
blame.
Tim Evans. He'll
Shift
take
the
your
blame.
Call.
Somebody else.
Tim loves it when you talk about his judges, too. That's always good.
Did you hear that punt?
Yeah, you know what? Hey, let me tell you something. You punted better than Pat O'Donnell last night. I can tell you that right now. But, although he throws a pretty ball.
Yeah, but you know what? He's got the long pass for the Bears this season.
Yeah, he does. Do you realize that? That Pat O'Donnell, the punter, has the longest reception of the year the Chicago Bears.
That's
Benny Cunningham, really. That's so much. Because he threw that ball. Like, I mean, I could have done that. You snap it to me. John, don't you agree? Snap it to me. I could have lobbed that ball. Like, you know, step forward and throw the ball. I can throw it to Benny Cunningham. Mm-hmm. That's not a problem.
Was he quite the athlete in high
school? I don't want to jump in on this one, but, Ro, we played football as kids, and I may have to call you out on this one.
Listen, you were the one who couldn't find a way to get open. It wasn't my fault. I got the ball to you. You just couldn't get open.
Who was the better athlete, you or John?
Point made.
John.
John. Look at Violetta jumping in on that. Wow.
Anna, you didn't play football with us. You can't weigh in on this.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'll stay out of it.
And Violetta,
Smart.
You can't either. And we did. Without pads, and we tackled each other. It was like that George Clooney movie with the leather helmet.
Sounds really interesting to watch.
Yeah, oh, it's something.
Oh, gosh.
It explains so much now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank God everyone wasn't videotaping everything back then.
No, we had guys where their legs got broken during the games. Ooh. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. Wow. So stupid. All right, but again, thank God we're smart now, right, John? All right, good luck to you, Commissioner.
Thank you very much. You too, take care.
You too, John. This is a great text. The first job cut should be anyone related to a county board member or, you know, higher up.
Oh, what do you do? I like the fact that Jerry Butler is going to be a no vote on this. The Iceman, right? Because what goes better with a sugary Coca-Cola than Pebble Ice?
Oh, God.
Violetta's got the WGN Turvey Trouble Spots. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Kevin Powell is at Wrigley Field right now for us, thinking great thoughts. Now, the Chicago Cubs, National League Ball Club, has just announced that the start of this game, which was scheduled to start in about 28 minutes has now been officially delayed.
Yeah, and you don't have to be Tom Skilling to predict this. There was reports that the Nationals and Cubs both pushing to start this game at 1 o'clock today, guys, but TBS, who carries the game, refused to allow that change to happen. They wanted the later start. So this game could have been over right about now when the rain's starting to hit Wrigleyville area. Instead, they're in delay now, and who knows when they'll get this game in. I think what Joe Maddon talked about before the game, and obviously they don't want to deal with the start, the stop. So we'll see what they're going to do here. They all want to just play a clean game where it's start to finish without a 45-minute delay in between. Remember, Jake Arrieta is dealing with that hamstring injury.
Oh, yeah.
These are not ideal conditions for anyone, especially for someone who's dealing with a strained hamstring. He's got a hammy to start and then have to sit down and then come back up. I mean, Arrieta, who knows, pitch two innings, the rain could start. And I don't think Joe Maddon's going to put him back out there if he has to sit for, 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
It's nasty here, though, at Wrigley. The wind's blowing in. I feel a couple raindrops so far.
Are you out? Are you covered or no?
We are covered, but the winds are so heavy that if the rain starts falling, it's going to kind of carry it underneath the roof.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh. Oh, come on.
I'm going to be, so this is the auxiliary press box. I know we talked about this yesterday. So this is outside down the left field line. So when you're in the upper deck, obviously the wind's going to feel a little bit amplified up here as well. But there's sort of makeshift desks for us along each aisle of and row of the seats.
No relation.
So I could always just like duck under here in the fetal position and just curl up around my Comrex unit and broadcast.
Are they metal?
Throughout the storm. So.
Yeah, be careful out there, okay?
This is almost, we almost lost an engineer and our sonic genius in Mexico.
That's true.
Because of electricity and water.
Yeah, I think our stage was electrocuted.
Yeah.
Our metal stage.
Electrified, yeah.
If you look at history, I think the Cubs do well after rain delays. Wasn't there that game in the World Series in the postseason that turned everything around?
Yeah,
so,
I don't want to leave it up to that. I don't know.
This actually, if this game does get postponed till tomorrow, this works in the Nationals' favor, no question, because
why?
That means Steven Strasburg, who went in game one, you guys remember, carried a no-hitter into the sixth inning. He'd be working on 4 days' rest. He'll probably start tomorrow because of that extra day of rest. It was supposed to be Tanner Roark today, who's a good pitcher. He's certainly no Max Scherzer or Gio Gonzalez or Steven Strasburg. So there's a chance that a starting pitching change could be made for the Nationals if this game's moved to tomorrow. Jake Arrieta will start either way, Joe Maddon said.
Yeah, but Maddon can make that decision too,
What do you mean? Go Kyle Hendricks or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he said today he's going with Arrieta. No,
I know
what.
He did, but, he's wacky.
he is wacky.
He can change his mind. I mean, how do we know what he's thinking?
That's a valid point.
And that might be just a way to kind of lure them into, maybe we won't. Maybe we'll keep Strasburg, happy.
Right.
Give him another day's rest. We may need him in game five.
Right, and then this just says Arrieta's going to go and then throw Hendricks out there. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, I think when it comes late in the postseason, nobody's ever really ruled out of a game completely. I mean, we've seen starters pitch out of the bullpen all the time. Look at Chris Sale the other day for Boston, pitch four and change out of the bullpen in relief for the Red Sox. So at this point of the year, you just go to anybody and everybody. You just got to get outs and play for tomorrow. So
yeah,
I wouldn't completely count it out. Maybe you would see Hendricks out of the bullpen, but he did get a session in today, got a workout in, and he's scheduled to go in a potential game five right now. So
I feel like the sound of the wind in back of
sideways wind.
Yeah.
I'm trying to shield my back to the wind right now. But
how's your hair, Kevin? Is the hair a problem right now?
Hair looks good. That's really all that matters, right? Especially around the radio, is how the hair looks.
Yeah,
I believe it looks okay right now, so I'm okay with that. I can get drenched in with the rain. I can deal with the wind, but as long as the flow is looking good, that's all I care about.
Yeah, I see what you're doing.
I did just have an Italian beef. I know you guys are probably interested. A nice little insider tidbit here.
Yeah.
Postseason games. A pro tip. The media get preloaded gift cards to the concession stands.
What we have to do is get all of our listeners to get media cards.
Right.
Is what you're doing. Is what you're saying.
Great tip.
Very great pro tip.
That.
Yeah.
Us media guys are going to bombard.
Yeah, we're going to eat for free. that really makes us,
You're probably getting gift cards for all of us. Oh, I need one for Ro and Anna and Violetta and Kim.
Yeah, I think you just get it for all the listeners. That's what
I'm working on it. If they come up to me, I'll get them something. Get them so
you go to like any concession you want to go to, and then you swipe your card and you're good to go?
Yeah, yeah. There's a certain amount each game. It gets reloaded each game. It's awesome.
But how much do you get on the card? Is it enough to fill you up?
Yeah.
Not Kev.
No, not me. I had an Italian beef. I still got a little left on the card. I'll probably get a hot dog or a cheese.
What do they got? What do they got over there for the Italian beef? Right, they got a couple different ones, right?
Yeah, I went with Bona beef.
Yeah,
I went with the Bona beef.
Excellent choice.
They've got the Bona, and they're bringing the tarp out on the field right now, guys. That's
is Bona bringing out the tarp right now?
Maybe it's a Bona sponsored tarp.
As I was dreaming of the Italian beef, I just looked to my left, and the tarp is being rolled out right
the,
now.
Because the field is dipped and hot right now.
That's right. That's right.
Hot, extra sweet, and dipped.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. I get it. I see what's happening. All right.
Well, we'll see, guys.
But you know what? You're going to be there all night now because this game, it is unlikely that this – well, we know for sure the game has been postponed. So if you're on your way there and you're busting your keister to get there, don't worry about it. It's not
– is it postponed?
Well, it could be played today still.
It could be delayed.
It's just delayed right now.
So did I say postpone? I meant delay.
Yeah,
I meant delay.
Yes. So you got a little time if you want to post up at a bar or something. I mean, it's Tuesday, but I'm guessing everybody who's coming here took off work, so enjoy it while you can, I guess.
Right.
And just stand by. We'll let you guys know if we hear anything else. But
well, when you look at the weather as it is coming in, this is really not getting better.
Right. No. Well, the heavy stuff's supposed to come around 7 or 8, correct?
Oh, heavy stuff's not coming down for quite some time now.
Right.
Yeah.
But so again, I don't know why they didn't start this game earlier than what
TBS.
They had planned. It is TBS' fault.
TBS has Full House reruns that they have got to get in.
Full House and Friends and the Cleveland Show. They got to get those in instead of playoff baseball.
No, they wanted this to be
Field.
Prime time, right? Isn't that what they've
Yeah, but it's still 4. I mean, it's 4:30 prime time?
But it goes into prime time.
I guess.
Now
it's
no time.
I understand it's money, it's ratings, but come on. Now this is going to turn into a mess. And I don't know, like you just said, I don't know how they're going to start this thing up because the heavy stuff is coming in a few hours here, so I don't even know, you know, they either just call this thing or don't start it.
Yeah.
Move it to tomorrow.
Yeah, listen to Uncle Kev.
That's right.
Call this thing or don't start it, Theo.
Jed and
Tom.
Theo wanted this game earlier.
I know. Well, what is wrong? This is what's wrong with the media right now. I'd like to blame the media for this.
Okay.
I'd like to blame, Time Warner owns them, I think.
Yes, that's
right.
That sounds right. Yeah.
So I think I'm going to blame them.
It's the media's fault.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to blame CNN. Somehow it's Anderson Cooper's fault.
Yeah, let's blame him.
All right.
It's Anderson's fault.
All right, coming up. It is, this just in, it's raining in Oswego. So we have that.
And Elgin.
I'm watching the Demetrius Ivory forecast here on the screen.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
And it's a big blob of green and yellow and a little bit, just a little orangish red.
Mm-hmm. Did they make him go outside with an umbrella yet?
No. They only make that. They only do that to Skilling because he's got such a big contract. They think, well, maybe, you know. But
it looks fast moving by his. But there's a lot of it. There's a lot of weather moving through.
Yeah, it could be. And there could be more behind it that we don't see. I don't know. Maybe they might get a little break here, around 6. Maybe they start the game around 6:15, something like that. Then they get an hour or two in, and then they...
Then what do they do? How does that work?
Well,
at this phase in the postseason.
Remember, you got to play 9 here. It's not 5 like the regular season. So they've got to schedule a full 3 hours here. It's not like you can just play...
Well, they could start it tonight and finish it tomorrow.
They could.
That would be weird.
They may have to do that.
Yeah. Madden's been a part of that before. 2008 World Series, they had to start and finish a game a day later.
Kevin is like all those reporters, you know, that were like in South Florida, right? You know, the thing is coming in. I can't go out here right now.
Hang on to something, Kevin, okay? Really?
All right, I'm hanging in there, guys.
Right now, a branch would go through me.
His bone of beef is hitting him in the face.
Yes. Did you get the bone of beef dipped? Because it is best when it's dipped.
It was messy, and the beef is just kind of
so good,
flapping
though.
Around.
That's a good item right there.
It's all over the place. Worth it.
They're
worth
slapping
the
beef. They're right now. There's beef is flying all the way up and down Waveland right now.
We got loose beef in Wrigleyville, folks. Steer clear.
Are they selling?
There always is, by the way.
It kind of is.
All right. Let's. All right. We got the Blackhawks pick 'em coming your way. We'll tell you who won and who didn't. The Blackhawks pick 'em. If you want to play Blackhawks pick 'em, caller number 19-312-981-7200. Caller number 19-312-981-7200.
It's my least favorite game we do. But that could change. It could get better.
I doubt it. It's got completely incomprehensible rules. I think that's our biggest problem right now. But we'll get to it right after Violetta with her WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
Play ball. Celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com and check it out today. Maybe you can buy one of those blue ponchos.
It's at $20.
Yeah.
$20 item.
A little pricey, but
I don't know, Kevin,
when you need one, you need one.
You have a big blue poncho? Big, like, human-sized condom that you're wearing right now?
I do have a blue jacket on, but I do not have a poncho. I should have brought an umbrella or something here.
Yeah. Oh, now he thinks about it.
Great planning.
Yeah, sitting out.
A good run, guys.
Cubs game has been delayed, and the Major League Baseball is going to reconvene, it says here, at 4:30. To make a decision. I don't know what the hell that means.
All the great minds get together and talk about it.
We're going to reconvene.
I like that. We should use that.
We'll reconvene and figure out how to make sure all those Friends reruns and the family Guy are able to air on TBS while this game, while we wait the start time.
I don't understand. Hey, all right. So last night, our listener, thank God, she won. Debbie from Valpo. She won last night with a total of 2 points.
Huge.
And she got one of those points from the player you told me you were mocking me for telling her to take.
So it was a tie. So the tie goes to her. I came in. I also had 2 points because I got the Jan Ruta because I took it off of Violetta's pick from last time.
Mm-hmm.
So how about that? All right. Here is Greg. Greg, who are you? You're the contestant. So, Greg, who are you taking?
Hey, I will take Kane, Sod, and Panic.
Okay,
nice
Kane,
choices.
Sod, and Panic. Yeah, this Sod. This is like
incredible.
Couldn't be better than couldn't be played. This is going to be the difference. Forget about
That's
it.
Amazing.
I think the rest of the NHL. I know they lost us, but they lost in overtime. They still got a point. I think the rest of the NHL should just give up and give the Stanley Cup to the Hawks. We don't have to worry about the rest of the season.
And it's like his seventh season, but he's only 24. So
I know.
Figure that out.
Yes. Well, we just did.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on 1 second.
Am I next?
All right. So, yeah, you are next.
Okay. I'm picking, I'm picking, I got the Hayden.
Hayden.
The one you mocked me for, Tommy Wingles, Evanston's finest.
Okay.
He had an assist yesterday.
All right.
And then I'm going to go, Patrick Sharp.
Oh, all right, that took right out of Violetta's hands. Violetta?
Are we not picking three people?
You are picking three people.
Didn't she just pick two?
She picked three.
Hayden, Wingles, and Sharp. That's
okay.
Three.
Don't ask questions. Just go.
Okay. I'm going to go with DeBrinket, Yurko, and Murphy.
All right, Yurko and Murphy. Or Jerko, as we call him here.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
Jerko.
Kim?
Okay, I'm going Duncan Keith, Hartman, and Seabrook.
All right.
Oh, Siebes.
Seabrook.
Oh, yeah, Siebes.
Love that Seabrook.
Okay. And then, Kev?
Has nobody picked Taves?
No.
Okay. I'll go Jonathan Taves.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go Lance Boma. And I'll go Gustav Forsling.
Oh, you took it right out of my... Oh, no, I don't got nobody left now.
Sorry.
I
really don't.
Sorry, Ro.
I'm
gonna
you do.
All right, so I'm going to take Anisimov.
Yep.
I'm going to take Tanner Caro again. Because I got a feeling about him.
Okay.
And I'm also going to take all the wingmen are gone.
They are.
What happened there?
Yep.
I'm going with Jan Ruta again.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I get three? I don't even know if I got three.
You got three.
Okay. Good. All right. You know this Jan Ruta? Oh yeah, he's from Pisek, Czechoslovakia.
That's my guy.
Yeah.
Great places. Pisek.
Where are you from, Pisek?
Czechoslovakia. Maybe he knows Ivana Trump.
Yeah, he knows. That's it, undoubtedly she's from Pisek.
Mm-hmm. She might be.
Yeah.
But now she's from Miami and New York and
Saint-Tropez.
Saint-Tropez is where she likes to.
We got to play that audio
later.
From this morning. There was even. She is making such an ass out of herself selling this book. And this whole thing where, like, she's like, she thinks she can compete with Melania. I know she's kind of kidding about that, but I'm not quite sure. He's like, I don't want to call the White House because Melania there, she's going to be jealous. I don't think so.
She might be annoyed by it. I mean, you don't really want the ex-wife to be calling.
Yeah.
I don't know how that ever works out.
Yeah.
Sometimes I suppose it does.
Well, it depends. If you have kids together, it does. I mean, you got to, you know.
Kids are in their 30s.
Yeah. And they're running the world and trying to get silencers legalized. I mean, I don't know.
Got
shooting big
plate.
Game, I don't know, but maybe the Maybe she calls Donald Trump and he goes, the Donald? Because she calls him the Donald. I think it's where it all started.
She does. That's right. She calls him the Donald.
The Donald, I would like to tell you, I think maybe Eric is feeling hurt because you call him stupid.
He doesn't get to solve world peace. Jared does.
Yeah, why doesn't he get to solve world peace? He should solve world peace. Why is Jared your favorite son now? I don't understand. Do you have two fine boys? They're smarter than Rex Tillerson. Ed Obradovich is going to join us. On the other side, we'll talk about the Chicago Bears. He's got some choice words for Coach Fox. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on! We could have won that game, kind of.
Kind of. Did come close.
He was chewing. Did you see him? It had that like Ernest T. Bass look last night from the Andy Griffith Show. He's chewing. He's like, it looked like he was chewing cud at one point. Mm-hmm. Just chewing something, and I think it might have been his tongue. And he just had that crazy look at his face, the arms constantly up. I don't know
what are they doing. Oh, you guys suck.
Probably buys him some time though. This Trubisky,
maybe. They said they don't want to get rid of him in the middle of a rookie quarterback season. I don't know why not. Don't teach this guy bad habits. And you should also learn how the NFL works. The guys that are around you could be gone at any given moment.
Well, that's mean. I still get paid.
That's true.
That is true.
That's the reality.
And so does Hodor over there on the sideline.
He's getting paid the big bucks. A lot of people are wondering if we could have used that money in another way, but that's...
No, they wouldn't have signed anybody else.
No, but, you know, they're only $2.5 million next year to get rid of him. That goes against the cap.
Yeah, he'll be gone next year.
Yeah,
that's
a special teams
Fox.
Player. Yeah. Hey, Kev!
They can count their money together on a beach somewhere.
Yeah.
Although Glennon might need SPF.
SPF 1,000?
Right. Yeah, SPF 1,000. Because for two reasons.
Melanin challenge.
One, he's very pale, and his face is five times closer to the sun than an average human. Because of the size of his neck. All right, we'll be right back. But first, we have got Kim Gordon, WGN News, coming your way in 2 minutes.
Uh-oh!
Tonight's ball game told you all you want to know about this coaching staff. The word is confusion. They're confused. We're decimated at linebacker. And you mean to tell me you had 11 days from your last game to this game tonight, and you knew you could have made line changes, defensive line changes, shifts. We had a linebacker in the third quarter looking backwards. His backwards was to Minnesota's offense. We didn't know what the hell we were doing.
I saw that.
And I'm going to sit here and I'm going to say it again. They had 11 days, and they knew their problems, and they couldn't figure it out. What Dan just said, timeouts. How dumb is dumb, folks? This is unbelievable. All you got to do is go back, which I'll say it again and again and again and again, go back to the four exhibition games. You see us out there tonight, offensively confused, defensively confused. Why? Because we don't do anything. We don't practice. We don't hit anybody. We do nothing. This coaching staff has to go.
All right.
And by the way.
There we go. That's Ed Obradovich right
Amen.
There. And now here he is live. That was from last night. It was such must-hear radio last night. I jumped in the car after the game. I'm like, I gotta hear what my boys are saying.
I did
and
too.
And it was, listen, you're 100% right. This is an undisciplined squad. You got a quarterback, right? You agree with that? That we found the quarterback.
Yes, we did. Pat O'Donnell.
He said that was the first time he said completed a pass in his
38-yard pass to Benny Cunningham, our up back on a punting team, and that's the longest pass in five games so far this season by anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
A nice play. Very nice
Pat
play.
Pat O'Donnell's doing well, guys.
Yeah, that's true. What did you make of Trubisky last night?
He's the real deal. What I saw him is what I wanted to see. He has control. You could just see it. I mean, he's got confidence. The kid can move. And what really impressed the hell out of me was when he bootlegged and, you know, sprinted out. When he made his throws, he was right on target. He reminded me of Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
And I like what I saw. This kid is definitely the quarterback of the future. Make no mistake about it. He truly is.
On that one interception, is that a learning experience for him?
Oh, that was real stupid. Let's call it what it is. Real stupid. The guy was covered like a blanket. He never should have thrown, and it was a mistake. You'll see, hey, there are veteran quarterbacks out there that will make that same mistake. He's just got to learn from it. That's what he has to do. It's not a rookie mistake. It's just a dumb mistake.
You know what? I noticed also the post-game, I was watching that. I was driving listening to you guys coming back from the airport. Then I got home, and I saw some of the Bears players. It seems like the teammates have a lot of they have a lot of confidence in him. They talk about his preparation. They talk about – it seems they're excited about the future with this guy. How important is that, Opie?
Well, absolutely. You know what? I talk about, you know, you got to understand the rules of the game and what the hell the rules of this game give you to do defensively and offensively. And you got to have a quarterback that's mobile, okay, and can run, throw on the run, be accurate. You got to have him. That's what the quarterback you got to have in today's game. The day of the drop back quarterback sitting there having five guys protect you, or maybe one back, you know, protecting you, and those days are over with. You got to be able to move. You got to change offensive sets. You've got to sprint out. You've got to bootleg. Play action is very, very important. When we have a good running game, you get that running game going, and then you come with the play action, Anna. I mean, there's nothing better.
Right.
I mean, if he bootlegs out from a fake handoff, and if it's a naked bootleg or it's a sprint out, that is so valuable in today's game. And what I saw with that young man last night, he impressed the hell out of me. I think he's the real deal, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Kev earlier had a statistic I thought was very interesting, that mm-hmm. when he is in play action, when he's faking the handoff, mm-hmm. he has a 127 passer rating. When he does not, he has a 30 passer rating. And so that if they're keying in on him, and you've got as solid a running back core right now as you've had on this team in decades.
Right, and that's important. I mean, I know it's a passing league, but you still got to have a running game, and we've got a running game, and now we have a quarterback that you can incorporate that running game with him, with the bootlegs and the rest, and that just watch Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers offensively. Aaron sprints out, he bootlegs, he play actions, he does so many things, it's unbelievable, and I think we have a kid. And I truly believe it.
Yeah.
Last night, God, we finally found a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So exciting.
That is true. And again, he will only, as you guys talked about, I mean, it may not be this year, may not even be next year, but you're going to see steady improvement. You're going to see him play within himself. There was a couple times I saw him avoid big hits, which I thought was great. That's the mark of a kid who clearly in the offseason was working with those quarterback camps, that, you know, the private quarterback camps that these guys go to that are put together by sponsors or by agents, mostly agencies. Mm-hmm. And they learn from the older guys, and some of the, you know, veterans, even retired veterans, are at those things to help these guys understand the speed of the game for the rookies and to also teach them how not to get murdered out there. And that is, anything can happen. Bad hits are bad hits. But if you're the quarterback, you got to protect yourself. There are some league rules now in place. But importantly, I saw him, a guy went for his knees last night, and he got off his feet. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to risk, he's also fleet, man. I mean, he takes big strides. He's a big guy, and I don't want to see him necessarily always trying to make the corner and, you know, turn it upfield, but without throwing the ball. But he's a multiple weapon guy, and teams are going to have to, if he pump fakes, they're going to have to respect him, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, for him to come out against the Vikings, who have a very good defensive team, by the way, and for this young kid to come out at home. And it was so great to see the crowd behind the Bears and behind this kid.
Yeah.
I was impressed as hell. And he responded. And he responded like he looked like a veteran out there.
Yeah.
And so I think he can just get better.
Mm-hmm. Looks like he was having fun, too. Hey, let's talk about Tarik Cohen for a second, because you made some points last night that were really interesting. First of all, one thing I love about that kid is they put him into block every once in a while, which is really crazy because he's 5 foot nothing. And, you know, you're like, who's he going to block? But he does. You know, he chip blocks a guy, gets in there. Come on, take me on. You know, he does that. He's very fun to watch. But you can't run backwards in the NFL and get yards.
Bro, funny you brought that up. That kid is, they have totally miscast him. I'm telling you what, he has got to be that slot receiver. And he's got to be constantly in motion when he's out there. That's the big point. That's the thing that he should be doing. Dan and I sat and talked about that last night. What the hell? What are they thinking about? Put this kid in motion. When you're a defensive back, and I'm telling you, and you've got that kid who is a dart. I mean, he's in front of you and he's gone. And you see him coming from the strong side to the weak side from the slot. He's on the full run. And you know he's going to be coming at you. You're the weak safety, or you're the weak side outside linebacker or cornerback. You went, oh, my God, I got to cover this guy now.
Right. That's true.
Just watch New England. They have the two small receivers. They're in the slot. They're constantly in motion. We're not using this kid the way he should be used. But then again, you know, and I sit there, and everybody, these kids are playing their hearts out. And to watch on defense, this is the fifth game in the NFL. And we have injuries at linebacker, and we're lost in space. My God, there were so many things that they could do. It's unbelievable. Go to six backs. Take two of the six backs. Blitz them on the inside. Blitz them on the outside. Come with a weak side linebacker. Come with the Mac linebacker. There's so many things they could have done that they didn't do. What did they look up like? Mass confusion. Why? Because they don't practice. They don't do anything.
Yeah.
I'm
with
you.
I hate to think that cost them the win, but it probably did.
Well,
Do you think?
First of all, and the discipline, too. I mean, holding, there was one phantom holding call that really did cost them. But there was real holding. There was, you know, guys getting beat, and they just don't know what else to do. I mean, I always, when lack of discipline is an issue on a team, mm-hmm. you got to start with coaching on that, because that's not guys in practice demanding responsibility from their players. It's as simple as that. And that's just, I played the game for so many years. I understand this guy.
You know what, guys? Mm-hmm. You know, it's the fourth quarter. It's right about 5 minutes and 35 seconds to go. And we get caught defensively in a critical situation with 12 men on the field.
Yeah.
Now,
whose fault is that? Or clock management. That's the thing. I don't even understand. There's such stupid clock management on behalf of the Bears. You know, they take a timeout after there's already been a timeout by the other team. It's like, what are you doing? Or they take a timeout to punt, right? I mean, it was like, if you knew you were going to punt, just punt. Oh, well, don't get me started.
Yeah, don't get him started.
That was in the second quarter. The punny team runs on there.
Right.
Then they run back off. The offense comes back out.
Right. Then they call a timeout, and then they run the punting team back out. It's like, what are you doing? I know it's a first half timeout. It doesn't really matter. But come on. Show me something. And then anytime John Fox could do it, he would look at the official and point and blame him. It's him. He did it.
It's a little weird body language, too. Last night.
Oh, man. He knows he's done.
A lot of hope for the future, though.
Yeah, there is. OB, we got to run. We will talk to you next week. We will listen to you on Sunday following the Bears against the Baltimores. And it could be something. I don't know. We'll see. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to see Mitchell Trubisky under center or behind the center by seven steps.
Well, just quickly here, I love the city defense. They got to pull our stuff together. Okay, you can't be embarrassed out there in the fourth quarter and you don't know what you're doing. Offensively, let's get behind this kid. Let's start kicking some butt. Let's go after people.
All right, you got it. Thank you, OB.
Thanks, OB.
Bye-bye.
No, thanks, OB.
Seems simple.
Yeah, I get it, it isn't.
All right, here's Violetta with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. Yep, It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. Blackhawks hockey coming your way at 6 o'clock tonight.
Ponchos are out at Wrigley Field.
And a few raindrops, guys.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Has Major League Baseball convened about this yet?
They are convening.
I thought they were
going to
reconvene.
You know, they could have already gotten two innings in. If they started on time.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And if this game started at one or even two,
yeah,
they've been done right about now.
Yeah.
They've been perfect
Cubs
timing.
Win. Mm-hmm.
Cubs win!
Oh, I hope they
So they're convening game. Going over every scenario possible if they're going to wait this thing out till later tonight.
I don't know. Maybe we
start.
Should wait. Maybe we should play at midnight tonight. Do you think that would be a good idea?
It seems like they're stalling till the rain passes.
Well, I was
Yeah, but
say,
the rain ain't going to pass until after midnight. So what you going to do? All right. Listen, we got bigger problems in this right now than the convening of MLB officials.
And then the reconvening, which
right.
is coming up, too.
They have to, there's just it's too much convenience. What?
No, I don't know.
All right, here we go. Stand by. You know what it's time for, don't you?
We do.
It's the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go.
Checking in at
number 5.
No, this ain't going to be good. New Yorker got a hold of some tapes of a 22-year-old model, Ambra Badalana Gutierrez, and Harvey Weinstein, part of an undercover operation the New York Police Department was.
What are you laughing at?
I can't
at?
Believe
it's
they were involved
funny.
In this. The day after Weinstein had sexually abused Gutierrez in his office, so she said, groped her breasts and put his hands up her skirt. Now, according to The Guardian, wearing a wire, Gutierrez is standing in the hallway of the hotel room as he tries to, well.
I'm telling you right now.
What do we have to do here?
Nothing. I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink. Water.
I don't drink.
Can
I stay on the bar?
No, you must come here now.
No.
Please.
No, I don't want to.
I'm not doing anything with you.
I know.
Now you're embarrassing me.
I'm sorry. I cannot. No, yesterday was kind of aggressive for me.
I
need to know a person to
I
be
won't
touched.
Do a thing.
I don't want
Everything, please. I swear I won't. Just sit with me. Don't embarrass me in the hotel. I'm here all the time.
I
sit
know,
with me.
But
I promise.
Don't want to.
Please sit there. Please.
Yeah.
What? Let me ask you a question.
Creepy.
This is from 2015, and this is a New York Police Department.
That's right. The police got the audio, handed it over to the DA's office, and they said they just didn't have enough to bring charges in this case. There's a little bit of funny business being alleged because the police say that they felt there might have been a case here, but that there was an arranged meeting between Harvey Weinstein and the alleged victim here, or the victim here, and that it sort of got dropped from there.
There's more.
On everything, I'm a famous guy.
I'm feeling very uncomfortable
please
right now.
Please come in now, and 1 minute. And if you want to leave, when the guy comes with my
Why
jacket,
yesterday
you,
you touched my breast.
Oh, please, I'm sorry. Just come on. I'm used to that.
But
come on.
Are you used please. To that?
Yes, come in.
No, but I'm not used to that.
I won't do it again. Come on, sit here. Sit here for a minute, please.
No, I don't want to.
If you do this now, you will embarrass
me. No.
They will call me again. Sorry.
Yeah, she's clearly saying no, no, no in a number of ways. She references some bad behavior he had the night before. She said yesterday, what you did to me was too much. And then he's saying, don't embarrass me. It's the predatory pattern that so many women have now come forward to explain. And it sounds eerily similar with each woman who recounts it.
Yeah, the whole thing about taking a shower.
And the bathrobe scenario, and in some cases, there are now three women in that New Yorker piece who are alleging rape, not just sexual harassment, as some of the others who've come out. And you're adding A-listers to the list now of people who are speaking out publicly to say, yes, they too had inappropriate interactions with him. Angelina Jolie, Gwyneth Paltrow, Rosanna Arquette, Mira Sorvino, some of them claiming that this really impacted their career because he is such a powerful man that it didn't seem like they got called back after they denied his.
Oh. All right.
The way he approached them and everything.
Oh, boy. Well, he's not powerful anymore.
No, I guess his brother Bob is. And then there are the reports Brian Stelter on CNN is saying that his brother was the one who set him up on this whole thing. They were feuding and...
Oh, boy.
But it's hard to set somebody up when they've got this much bad behavior. Right. Almost the better question is, why did it take this long when it was the worst kept
this many
secret?
Decades
this
of it,
This many
right?
decades. You've got right. women in their 40s and 50s recounting the exact same behavior years ago.
All right. Checking in at...
Number four.
Uh-oh. He's a member of our family.
The coach.
Coach Ditka. On a Westwood One interview before the game last night, he's talking to Jim Gray. Jim Gray asks him about the controversy of players taking a knee before the game, and what is this all about?
I think that you have to be colorblind in this country. You got to look at a person for what he is and what he stands for and how he produces, not by the color of his skin. That has never had anything to do with anything. But all of a sudden, it's become a big deal now about oppression. There has been no oppression in the last 100 years that I know of. Now, maybe I'm not watching it as carefully as other people. I think the opportunity is there for everybody, race, religion, creed, color, nationality. If you want to work, if you want to try, you want to put effort into yourself, I think you can accomplish anything. And we've watched that throughout our history of our country.
Yeah.
The question about the statement about oppression, right,
is the one that everyone is feeling most bothered by, and even stronger than that, for sure. That what are you talking about? There's been no oppression in the last 100 years that you know of.
We understand that that there may be a clarification of what he meant by that forthcoming. So,
well, I mean, there's no question he's lived an insulated existence, and he may not have witnessed it personally, but I think he has some explaining to do about what he means by that, because I think it speaks to the reason why so many people are taking a knee when they want people to understand there is social injustice in this world, and they're calling attention to that for this very reason.
We get to your three, your two, and your one, but first, let us just announce this. Cubs game postponed until tomorrow at 3:08 p.m.
Oh, gosh.
Full postponement.
What happens to all those people who have tickets today and they can't get off work tomorrow?
Hey, just give us a ticket. Well, we have work tomorrow. We can't do it.
No.
Damn it!
Darn it!
All right.
Well, that canceled game's also going to affect traffic.
They're Chicago. They're real. Watch Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggets, Larry Potash, and Robin Baumgarten. Get real in the morning with the WGN-TV Morning News Team. Weekdays 4 to 10.
Top 5-5 continues. Checking in at...
Number 3.
All right, so Jemele Hill. Right? She's been suspended now from ESPN.
Yes.
For 2 weeks.
Very publicly. And
right. This whole thing is getting out of control. It's getting out of control. Judge Mathis has now weighed in.
Oh, good. Judge Mathis. The one who's no longer in Chicago and didn't take his staff from Chicago.
He says if she tried to sue ESPN over her 2-week suspension for just exercising her freedom of speech, she would win.
Certainly she'd be able to defend herself, and I think she'd win. The question is whether she wants to go through the process, hurt her image, hurt her employment ability.
Right,
you see
right.
what they've done. They've blackballed the brother from San Francisco.
Can't remember his name.
So we know a commentator might suffer the same fate and then not be hired anywhere else, like they failed to hire Kaepernick and discriminating against him and his First Amendment rights.
Yeah, and don't. And by the way, take that back about Judge Mathis. He's still here. Steve Harvey's gone.
Oh, right. Judge Mathis. I do take that back. Sorry.
All right. You're gonna get
one
a
my
two
mom's
weeks
favorite.
2 week suspension for that.
Steve Harvey's not here.
Yeah. Now Mathis
love you, Judge.
Says he has no doubt Jemele Hill would be victorious in court because, you know, she called Donald Trump on social media a white supremacist. That's what she got.
That was the first thing. And then she asked for a boycott of the advertisers for Jerry Jones' Cowboys because he had said that my players are not going to take a knee.
Right. So here's your problem. Can't call for a boycott. If you're in this business, don't ever call for a boycott. Because this is an advertiser-driven business. And when you call for a boycott of advertisers, you're biting and swallowing the hand that feeds you. That is, I think, what they wanted to explain to her at ESPN. But hey, Judge Mathis, he's got this whole thing worked out.
Absolutely, it's not fair. Are they going to suspend Jerry Jones for saying it? He suggested that they violate the First Amendment of his players. And secondly, I support her 100% in everything she has done to express her First Amendment rights. And if violates policy,
I can't. You know what? The guy is a TV judge. You do not have First Amendment rights in the workplace.
Your employers can, restrict how you speak out against potential advertisers.
If it's bad for business, or imagine if you have racists in the workplace, right, that are just screaming at the customers racial epithets.
Yes.
You would not allow that, right? Now, I'm not trying to create a moral equivalency between NFL players who are taking a knee during the national anthem in a silent protest and a racist screaming names across a counter at somebody.
Right.
Right? I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that they unfortunately, in the world of the law, in the eyes of the blinded eyes of justice, that doesn't work. You're a lawyer and a judge. He is a lawyer, isn't he? Or is he just a judge on TV?
Well, I think he's a lawyer. I'd have to look that up. I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah, in his intro, he went to law school.
Okay, good.
Changed his life off the streets.
Oh, good. Oh, that's good.
Love Day died in TV.
Yeah, who doesn't, right?
My mom's a frequent audience member on the Judge Mathis
show. So you always see Mrs. DeVlantis in the back row.
She's there a lot, and she loves it.
Oh,
her and her friend Barbara, they go. Except they make you take your cell phone and put it in a little bin outside, so she gets mad about that, because then she's cut off from the grandkids.
They don't want to show people in the back on their cell phones while Judge Mathis is making wacky rulings.
FaceTiming their three-year-old grandchild.
All right, here is your next.
Number two.
Earlier today, the president suggested that he'd like to compare IQ tests with Rex Tillerson.
Oh, boy.
If, in fact, Rex called him a moron. He doesn't believe it. Fake news. But if he did, I'll take an IQ test with him. I'll tell you who's going to win. That's what he said, basically.
He did.
Today, Sarah Huckabee Sanders at the White House press briefing room and answer questions about this. Isn't there anybody who's stopping and saying, this is ridiculous?
What's going on?
He wasn't questioning the Secretary of State's intelligence. He made a joke. Maybe you guys should get a sense of humor and try it sometime. But he simply made a joke. He's been extremely clear time and time again, despite the fact that you guys want to continue to bring this up and create a story.
What?
He's got 100% confidence in the Secretary of State. He said it multiple times over the last couple of weeks. And we're trying to move forward and focus on the agenda while you guys want to move forward and talk about who likes who, when that's simply not what we're doing here.
The president tweeted it. It's not like the press got up this morning and said, you know what we need to do? We need to extend this story by another day.
Well,
we better go in
it
and ask them.
Right. He said it to Forbes. But now Mensa is offering to have a face-off, a battle of the brains, and see who actually does have the better IQ.
Oh, I've got it.
He already said
For
he does.
For sure.
But
no
maybe
question.
It's just smack, you know. Rex is a smart guy. He's former CEO of Exxon. Could be a battle.
All right.
Worth watching.
Okay. I'm done.
You're done with it?
I'm done with this. Finally.
Number one.
I love this woman, Ivana Trump. She will not go away right now. This is like the, at least, you know what? It's a nice little amusement on the side.
It is.
She's like a refreshing salad on the side of this poop sandwich that we have to eat.
She's very honest. That's for sure. She tells all. She wrote her book.
She was on Fox and Friends. I'm surprised that the White House didn't try to shut that down. You know, Melania's like, what don't you call friends at Fox and Friends? They are your friends, right? Do you say best television show on television? Maybe you should call. Maybe that the Inzi Einhardt, what is her name? Maybe she will not do interview if you call Donald. But don't say anything else to her than that. Right? All right. She says, this is Ivana saying there's no problem between she and Melania, despite calling herself the true first lady.
Are you and Melania friends?
I see her here and there. There's absolutely no problem.
You wrote a story about how you were at lunch with the ladies and they were talking about Melania. What did you say at the lunch about Melania?
I said that she's a very nice girl, and it is very tough to be on campaign.
And so how did the media report what you said at that lunch?
I think the media reported that, you know, she cannot speak. she cannot this, but that was nothing which I said, because I have an accent, she has an accent, we're both immigrants. So that really didn't count for me. I sent to Melania the text, the last thing what I would like to do is to say something bad about you, you know, because you are a family.
Okay, so she's, a phone call was made. I take that back. Clearly a phone call was made, because now Fox is like, would you like to clean up exactly what it was that you said about her before?
That's what I was about.
I did not say that before. I did not. It's just yesterday. Mm-hmm. Just yesterday she was saying that Melania was like, I cannot call White House because Melania's there. I don't want to make her jealous. I mean, come on.
She made the White House, you know, her official press secretary put out a statement.
Yeah.
Melania's press secretary to say, hey. She's just trying to sell books. This is not true.
So the White House did call. They got Fox and Friends to get her to. They called her. They got you know how this went down. Mm-hmm. They got Ivana's people. They got the Fox and Friends people. They said, "Here's what you're going to need to clean this up." Hey, honey, sweetheart, could you come in the room and watch this? I know you don't want to see her, but I did it for you. Bob Corker's an idiot. So is Rex. God. I'm smarter than he is.
Oh, gee. It's really happening.
Is there more, really Ivana? Happening. I can't get enough of her. Oh, no. This is her on Marla Maples.
Did he have the affair with Marla Maples?
I'm not going to talk about the showgirl.
You call her the showgirl?
Yes. She asked for an apology, and I said her apology is not accepted. And I never accept her apology.
Why is that?
I just think she's showgirl. I think she ruined my marriage, and she doesn't deserve apology.
There's some factual data there, actually, that she ruined the marriage, but he was a willing participant.
Yes. Yeah. It's kind of, you know, I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I hope she keeps talking.
Right. Well, she's got a book to sell.
Yeah. Which, aren't you guys surprised that that he's okay with that?
Okay. Here.
Here
is the end of this. And then Kerry Wood is going to join us. We're going to talk about the Cubs tomorrow. Now, Cubs are playing tomorrow. Game postponed until 3:08 tomorrow afternoon. Close this up.
The top five at five.
It's a pleasure to have this music back and have this man back. Kerry Wood joining us during the Cubs playoffs. Brought to you by Sloan Water. Connects us. Sloan, and then water connects us. That's what
Got
I meant
it.
To say right there. All right, there he is! Back to the jungle.
Yeah.
It's Kerry Wood right here.
Welcome to the jungle. We got fun and games.
Now, that's not him singing, but you know, it's,
you know
what it
we
is.
Understand.
But we talk it right up. It's classic. Right?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Kerry.
How are you doing?
Couldn't be better. And now the Cubs have been postponed till 3:08 tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Does that benefit the Cubs, or does that benefit Washington? Because our own Kevin Powell is reporting that they may actually go back to their game one starter.
Rhodes, sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
Like literally just seconds ago, Dusty says they're sticking with Tanner Roark for tomorrow.
Oh, they are. All right.
Okay.
I remove the question now. I'm withdrawing the question. But
you still have Arrieta and the hamstring issue. Is that an issue tomorrow?
Yeah. Well, no, that's surprising. I thought that would be a no-brainer to have Strasburg come back on regular days rest, and then maybe have Gio go game five with Scherzer possibly coming out of the pen. So maybe they'll use Strasburg out of the pen, obviously, tomorrow if they get a lead or need that. I think it's obviously it's one more day for Jake's hamstring. I guess you could look at it that way. But I feel good about it. If they're staying with Roark, then. Nothing changes. I feel good about this game.
Let's talk a little bit about Jake's hamstring, because this is an interesting injury. Obviously, it changes the way that a pitcher can deliver, the way a pitcher can explode off the mound and all of that, right, off the rubber. The question is, if you put him on a pitch count, does that really help, or, you know, can that aggravate at any given moment?
No, I think once you get it hot, I wouldn't think – I mean, we saw it last night, right? I mean, Scherzer – threw the ball pretty well with the hamstring thing that he had. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure the severity of either one of these guys, but when you're dealing with an injury like that, I think if you get it hot and you feel good enough to go and you can make pitches, obviously fatigue sets in as you get deeper in the game and you get fatigued and you get tired and that's where things can happen. So I'm sure that's what they're thinking. They're thinking long term and down the stretch, and not just this series. They're thinking to the next series as well.
And you don't want to sit on the bench too long, right? Like big innings, big offensive innings. Even though they'd be great for your team, it kind of makes it harder to come back out.
Well, yeah, too. It's nice to get him not to have to go out tonight and try to be on a wet surface and it's cold weather, and so him getting hot and getting cold and sitting down and doing all that stuff. So it could be beneficial for Arrieta to take, obviously, to get another day here, not have to deal with this weather and get there, get out there tomorrow on a dry field and go to work.
Well, yeah, let's talk a little bit about last night's game. You know, Cubs made a number of mistakes, a couple running, like base mistakes, which is just base runner mistakes, just, you know, kill a team. It's like holding, you know, like in football, and you're like, well, what was that? And then obviously Schwarber booting the ball, everybody feeling badly for him,
yep.
And yet the Cubs still were able to pull it out, you know, against people saying, because at one point I think there was an 82% probability that Washington was going to win that game, right? Mm-hmm. When they went up 1-0, but what do you account for?
Well, I tell you, Quintana just kept making pitches. He just kept making pitch after pitch after pitch, and he was relentless. He had intent with every pitch that he made, and he never gave in, no matter the situation. So I thought he was outstanding. And these guys don't ever give up at the plate either. I mean, they had some grinded at bats. Zobrist, obviously, with the big double to break up the no-no. But Hayward got a hit, a little jam shot, and then obviously Rizzo getting the huge hit. Another little jam shot, and these balls weren't ripped off the wall or into the seats, but they were at bats that these guys didn't give up on and grind it out and found a way to get it done. So, but it's Quintana, it's him holding it right where it was, and pretty much for the most part matching Scherzer pitch for pitch.
I think that was another thing that struck me. It just seemed like, you know, it's a sign of where their heads are in the postseason right now. When they were making those mistakes early, able to come back from it, Scherzer pitching so well, them not hitting as well early on, and just sort of figured it out. And when the players spoke later, they're just like, no, there's no panic. There's just anything they can throw at us, we can handle it. It just seemed like this amazing ability to say, hey, we got this.
Yeah, and obviously it gives pitchers a lot more confidence too, right? You give up a run early, you don't have to panic and start trying to hit corners and be perfect. You know these guys aren't going to panic and they're going to scratch out at bats and keep this in this game and get you back in the game. So it takes a lot of pressure off the pitchers knowing that you have a squad that doesn't panic and can put runs up at any time.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about this particular matchup between the Nats and the Cubs. On paper, it's great. So far in these games, it's been great, right? I mean, this is playoff baseball. I think almost across both leagues at this point, really great playoff baseball. Very fun.
Yeah, it's been a great season so far. Astros look phenomenal, and there's a great series obviously with Cleveland and New York going on right now. So these teams are fun to watch. All the games have been fun to watch. As far as the Cubs Nats series, I think. Man, Nationals have to be just so dejected. You got such great outings out of Strasburg and Scherzer in their first starts, and you got those are your two losses. I mean, you had one guy going 5 2/3 with no hitter, and the next night the guy goes 6 1/3 with a no hitter, and you end up losing those two games. So, it's going to take that's pretty dejecting. So these guys are going to have to battle back from that. But it's a great matchup on paper, like you said, but it's been fun to watch, and I think there's a lot more fun here coming in the next couple of days.
And I think that you're right about that. The Nationals thought that they were going to be able to get right past the Cubs. They may have been looking past them because the Nationals were very, very strong this season. Obviously, they got sick pitching. They've got also equally sick bats, mm-hmm. and they were just ready to go, right? And they got beards. You know, you got guys.
Lots of beards.
You got a lot of beards. You got a lot of excessive hair on a team.
A lot of hair. Yeah. A lot of flow.
Yeah. The guys got flow. Right. Uh-huh. I mean, when you got stuff like that, you know they're confident, you know?
Yeah.
Dusty Baker just said that some of his players are not feeling so well, so the change of weather is affecting them, and he says he's happy with no game today because of that, but they're going to switch
hotels.
What
does that mean they're not feeling well?
They're going to switch hotels.
Uh-oh.
Feeling well. They weren't... Okay.
Have you ever heard that before,
Gary? Yeah, does that seem weird to you?
They're going to switch what?
Hotels.
Oh. Where are they? No, I'm not going to make you say where they're staying.
No.
But,
they said there was an issue, so I don't know.
Yes. You know, sometimes it's like you get into the hotels if they haven't changed their ventilation and the... Yeah, you can feel kind of crappy. I've definitely heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
A I feel like St. Louis did that to us on purpose a lot.
No,
not
that
St. Louis.
Wouldn't happen.
Not St. Louis.
I think it's just being in St. Louis. I think I always get dizzy when I look at the arch. I don't know. It's
it
like
could be it too.
Big. It's like a hole, but it's not a hole. I don't know what it is.
Can't really go past it. Kind of stay around it.
All right, are you pretty confident that the Cubs can get? I mean, obviously 2-1 lead. That's important to have. But you are pretty confident the Cubs can close this thing out.
Yeah, no, I feel good about it. I think the question now becomes: do you stay with Hendricks for if we need to get to a game five? Do you stay with Hendricks, or do you bring Lester back on regular rest as well? So that's a question the Cubs are going to have to deal with. But hopefully Arrieta goes out and does what he's capable of doing, and we get a couple of runs early and let him relax, and we won't need game five.
All right.
That'd be great.
All right, Kerry Wood. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate
Thanks,
it as always, Kerry Wood.
Good talking to you.
There he goes, the great Kerry Wood. Violetta Powdermedic, the great Violetta Powdermedic. It says it right here. She handed me this little card to read.
Perfect. You did it great.
Thanks. All right, we're going to get out of the way here for Blackhawks hockey coming your way in just a few minutes. But this interesting day, interesting couple of days right here in Chicago, because we've had this most amazing sports run.
Mm-hmm.
And now the gods have opened the skies up. Now, what does this mean? I mean, rain has been good for the Cubs of late.
It has.
Sure.
World Series, it was.
Yeah, right.
The came out and it changed the whole momentum of the team.
Right. And now the question is this good or bad? I don't know.
I don't know what to make of it. I'm going to go with good.
All right. I don't know if I feel the same way.
No. Rain on a wedding day is good?
I don't think that's true.
They say it's good luck.
Yeah, I've been through it.
You could have used a thunderstorm.
I had record cold once. There's so many of them. I'm like Larry King. I can remember them all.
Being struck by lightning at the altar, not a good sign.
No. Outdoor wedding, rain is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really not the case here. I just want to make sure that everything is fine. And now it's good that Major League Baseball has convened, and then they reconvened,
yep.
And then they unconvened.
And then they made an announcement after deconvening that they would not be playing. A lot of convening over there today.
Right. A lot of talking and thinking. But that still moves the game still would be, they're going to play tomorrow, and it would be Thursday in D.C., right? It would be back-to-back.
So do they take a day off then?
No,
Kevin,
Thursday. They'll play tomorrow and Thursday if it goes five.
All right.
Yeah. Today is their day off now. Now, what is this about moving hotels?
Yeah, Dusty Baker was complaining that there was mold in their hotels and something with the air conditioning was making guys not feel well. So apparently they're doing a hotel change now.
Huh.
So Kerry Wood was right. He said sometimes it feels a little funky in the hotel with the ventilation.
Oh. Okay.
Wow, okay.
Were they staying in one of those hotels up on Lincoln Avenue that are always suspect?
Yeah, that was the one that Mayor Daley tried to get rid of.
Yeah, were they staying at that? Because, I mean, maybe the team should have popped for something better.
The Ohio House,
where they stay. You get a good chicken breakfast for the Ohio House,
Lincoln Motel. You can get in and out quickly.
Hostels
right
build
up.
Teamwork or build team morale.
Yes, I think that must be the case. Not quite sure what to make of that.
It does make you feel like you'd think they'd be staying in one of the best hotels, but
yeah,
sure they are.
One would think. Well, we'll just have to see. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, and what hotel? What kind of great hotel is having some mold problem? I'd like to know the answer
Very
to
important.
That. Right.
Just for a friend, you need to know.
Yeah, just right. Exactly. Just hey, Dusty, all K me.
But he's saying that a lot of his players are under the weather.
Yeah. Well, it's called blue
seasonal.
Season. Yeah, that breed's got a little cough. All right, Chicago Blackhawks hockey is coming your way.